last Sunday, being able to speak for this year, and I've enjoyed myself. My last weekend off, my son went to Florida. My wife and younger son's in New York. What message did that send me? Wow. And I'm talking about situation awareness today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you guys about obedience. I thank our leadership for giving me the opportunity to bring a series of lessons because it actually betters myself. I had an opportunity to speak to the Kiwanis Club of Covington Friday. And they had the parish president, the mayor of Covington. It was a who's who event. I obviously didn't get the memo. And I enjoyed myself. And I just couldn't stop thinking about the word obedience. I'm just stuck on obedience right now. And, you know, I had a little negative streak of obedience going. It continued. My home church in Knoxville, Tennessee, our elder passed away. Great man, Brother Waters. And I'm at that age now where I'm seeing a lot of people that I grew up being mentored by, trusting, being taught by, passing away. And I'm looking at this, and the first thing, I go to 2023, and I see that word ready. Ready. How can we get ready? You know, we could take this and talk about we get ready for tomorrow, work day, or whatever, but I think the message is how can we get ready for God to call our name? Raise an adjective. In a suitable state from an activity, action, or situations, fully prepared. Fully prepared. How can we, as members of the church, be prepared for Christ? Anybody got a guess? I like that, obedient, studying. We have to be obedient. For me to be ready for that day of judgment, I have to understand God. I have to understand his authority, his will. I have to understand how he thinks. Obedient. And if we can get ready, that's a big, 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 big deal. Don't you think? Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So, one thing that God and His son Jesus did a great job. If we search for it, he's going to give us the answers. First time I did that. Huh? I wasn't. But you know, that's Satan, see? Y'all going to figure it out here in about 3 minutes. It's Satan, okay? But think about this, okay? Do I get excited to get ready? Am I excited that every day I have to go through the process? I have to take pride in the process and to be obedient to allow me to get ready? What's my energy level? What's my mindset? I just click. You got it? Let me sit down. Let me sit down. I want to sit down. I just hit play. The top one. I think I missed. I don't know.
If I was the devil, my first victim will be the kids. From the moment they left their mother's precious wombs and were born, I would condition them to see racial division as a norm. And I wouldn't stop till I've stripped their innocence, divide and conquer. It's the oldest trick in the book of Genesis. And see, as they grew up, I would continue my infiltration. For 12 years, I would steal their hearts and minds from them and call it education. If I was the devil, my next victim would be women. I'd make old, out-of-touch men control women's bodies and rights. What better way to curse God than to disrespect the very bringers of life? Speaking of God, if I was the devil when it comes to religion, I put my plan together perfectly. I'd allow you to worship Jesus every Sunday, and on the other 6 days, I'd make you worship me. In the form of money, fame, lust, and greed, to my religion, I wouldn't need to convert you. I'd turn the Ten Commandments to the Ten Suggestions and make virtue signaling more important than virtue. I'd give you just enough religion to hate each other, but not enough to love each other. And for my final evil strategy, I'd make you forget the whole purpose of religion was spirituality. If I was the devil, I wouldn't come dressed in a red cape and pointy horns. I'd drive a Lambo, have a pretty face and a Gucci belt on. Basically, I'd take the form of everything you ever wished for and watch you create your own hell. I don't need to torch the earth. And as far as politicians go, I'd change nothing. They're already doing my dirty work. If I was the devil low-key, I'd be behind the scenes. You wouldn't have to see me. I would normalize dysfunction and call it reality TV. And in this reality, I would attack your self-worth, making it hard to heal from. I'd show you images of fake bodies and make them more attractive than real ones. If I was the devil, I'd make you pray to technology and idolize those who created. I'd make clout the number one drug and steal millions of lost souls as they chased it. Now, if I was the devil, I wouldn't do it all at once. I'd take my time instead. I'd eat away at your morals little by little, exactly how cancer spreads. Speaking of cancer, if I was the devil, I'd feed you tasty food that makes you ill. Then I'd turn your doctors into drug dealers, selling you pills that keep you coming back instead of truly healed. Yeah, if I was Lucifer, then I'd know life and death are in the tongue. So I'd make your knife and fork your executioner. See, you can't achieve higher consciousness if your body is sick. You won't opt for positive information if you have inflammation. If I was Satan, my cleverness would be admired. Why do you think the word inflammation literally means to set on fire? If I was the devil, I'd show you how to really flex. I would release pandemics on the world to give people the chance to really care for each other and then sit back and laugh as they exploited and became scared of each other. Basically, if I was the devil, I'd keep doing what I'm doing. God is my witness. I already control your systems. Don't try to fight against this. Because for my last trick, I would make smart people like you doubt whether I ever existed.
Devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, somebody told me last Sunday that I said this and I left it at this. The devil comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full, as some other texts would say, abundant. We know that the devil is going to play its part. We know the situations that the devil is going to put us in. I'm strolling through Instagram this week, and I'm supposed to be off of work, but my wife has me working. And I get a little break. I think I'm eating some chili. And I see this video. If I was the devil. And he talks about different things. And think about where our world is today. For somebody even to make the video. But if we take the situations in the video, as Christians, we should be aware to all those situations. Jesus replied, "You're not getting along today." See, that's what happens when you're calling out the devil. Y'all laugh. He's trying to get me right now. You know what? I tell you what I need to do. Hold it. Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. Let's go, let's go. See, sometimes you have to call on the Holy Spirit. Hey, boy, y'all looked at me like I was, oh my goodness. Y'all never done that before? That's a Gnostic thing? It can be a Gnostic thing. Because sometimes you got to call on them. As athletic as I used to be, I shouldn't be hitting this twice. Amen. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them." See, all this stuff comes up. The fight is fixed. Do we understand that? Do we understand that the fight is fixed? Holy Spirit, activate. I got it that time. But we understand the fight is fixed. Why do we act sometimes like it's not? We act like sometimes that my elder at my church in Knoxville passed away. He's going to go sit with God. He gets to meet Paul before I did. Amen. Because he was ready. He was ready. He was obedient. See, when we're obedient to God's word, we should be able to take situations that happen to us and see them for what they are. If we believe the fight is fixed. That's why we can't believe that the fight is fixed. Just the reason why we can't be obedient. This is the reason why we can't get ready. See, it starts out with being fortunate enough to have authentic foundation as a youth. Because if you don't, you're playing catch up. Amen, church. That's why it's important for mothers and dads to teach their kids at an early age about obedience. I can go my way and do it my way. And guess what results I'm going to get? My results. Or I could do it God's way, understand that I have to have structure. Did I just say structure? Amen, church. You know, I was speaking Friday, and there was a guy that was a member of the Kiwanis Club. And all he kept on saying is, he got me saying, and I'm the one speaking. I thought that was fun. So we're sitting there and I'm thinking about everything we have to do to get ready. And I teach my guys that I coach that you have to take pride in your process. Sometimes I don't know what God was thinking. Sometimes I don't understand why things have to be the way they are. But it's not up to me to question them. It's not up to me to ask why. My job is to be obedient and be ready. Amen. Okay, so this is where I want to get to. Let me go over so I can see. Situational awareness is an essential skill. Your ability to respond to a situation will only be as effective as the clarity with which you see the situation. Can I read that again? Situational awareness is an essential skill. Your ability to respond to a situation will only be as effective as the clarity which you see the situation. All right, so what made JJ start getting on this word situational awareness? I don't know why my head coach started doing this, but he started talking about, okay, everything we do is situation. Situation, situation. All right? They got the ball on the minus 5-yard line. Our safety's going to be at 25 yards. Our corners are not going to press. They're going to be off 7 yards, 1 yard inside. And on second down, we probably be in some type of trap coverage thinking they're going to throw something out in the flat. That's what's going to happen. And nobody's going to change it. They're going to do that right there. And the reason why I can tell you that is because there's clarity. There's clarity in my ability to study my opponent. There's clarity in going back, looking at the history of football, that takes place. 30-yard line, first and 10, 30-yard line, plus 30. 12 personnel taking a shot. Running back's going to be right behind the quarterback. 1998, pick against Washington Redskins. All right? They weren't throwing to Aeneas Williams. He's a Hall of Famer. So I knew they throwing the comeback over to me. That same play, 1998, the same play, they're running the same play, 30-yard line. They're taking a shot, P and 10. They're taking a shot. Guys, don't be shocked. After a turnover, Lane Kiffin, we played Lane them this year, same game of the season. Lane Kiffin, every time he has a turnover, he's taking a shot. Anytime he gets inside the 30-yard line at first down, he's taking a shot, which means he's trying to throw it for the end zone because he knows he's going to go for it on fourth down. So there has to be a lot of studying, a lot of film work. There has to be a lot of calling your buddy at another school, it happens, and asking them what they're doing in this situation as well. But we practice this every day. Every day. Example. If anyone saw the Cotton Bowl, we were down. We got a 2-point safety, and they kicked off to us. Offense is on the field with 4 minutes to go. All right, less than 4 minutes. And our left tackle, Joey Claiborne, he told the team, guys, fastball, let's go. Wasn't nothing to talk about. Every Wednesday, right after stretch, you better stretch good because we're going fastball. Offense getting the ball, we're not even really spotting it. Throw the ball away, we spot the ball down. Let's go tempo, tempo, tempo. Let's go tempo, tempo, tempo. Let's go. We're trying to make it as fast as possible. So our defense has to line up. Our offense got to get set, and we run in plays quick, 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 quick. Oh, I forgot. We give them scenario. Down by 4, 1:37 to go, ball on the 40-yard line, and you have one timeout. So the situation is set for them. So we get in the game in the Cotton Bowl, and they're like, God, this is what we've been doing it for 15 weeks. This is what we do. And boom, we did it so well, we almost scored too quick. Right? We did it so well. But guess what? Now it's their turn. And guess who's been practicing defending it? We have. Church, I didn't plan on talking about this long. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. When we talk about situational awareness, it's a military term. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's a military term. And think about if you're fighting in the military and your awareness is not good situationally. That's not good. Or how about you're an attorney and your situational awareness is not at a high level? Not good. What about if you're a broker or a financial planner? And your situational awareness is not, it's really not good. We're talking about it's really not good. You have to have clarity, intelligence. You have already done all the legwork. So think about this. And I struggled with this. I really did. God's will, situational awareness. God's will, situational awareness. Well, I'm supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit, give it to Him, let it be His will, and I'm just supposed to walk along. Wait and see what happens. No, don't worry like that. Faith without works is dead. I think that's a good one for that one, Brother Matthew. I think that's a good one. We have to really do a great job with studying things that go on. So I had a situation where my sister's daughter is going to LSU, all the way from Kentucky. And they were down for orientation, so my sister stayed the night, and we were talking about my wife and son's trip to New York. And I asked my sister, do you remember when we went in July? I probably was 7 or 8 years old. Did you remember the weather? That it wasn't like the South? That it was maybe at night 70 degrees? A little cooler? Guess you didn't have awareness. My parents did not have awareness of the situation. So guess who had to buy clothes? So I asked my sister, I said, Creep, how was the weather up in New York when we went that time? And the first thing she said was, it was cold. And the reason why I asked her that question is because I told Justin, make sure you pack some long sleeves. I wasn't trying to be a boss. Situational awareness. I'm a dad. I don't want my kid to be cold. But I wanted him to hear it come from somebody else. Sometimes it's all right if it has to come from somebody else. Amen. Remember, the victory's won. We just got to get to the contest to compete. So then be careful how you walk, not as an unwise people, but as a wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right, this is Paul, my boy. Good old Paul. Why is it not good for a Christian to be foolish? Why is it not good for a child of God to be foolish? How can we prepare ourselves situationally if we're foolish? All right, I got some strange eyes. Okay, let me see it. Let me try this one. Principles. If I operate off of God's principles, where should I be at situationally? Okay. Now, how many times have you heard Brother McCluskey say this right here? If your principles don't have value, they shouldn't be your principles. Amen. Think about this, okay? You had an old lady, and I'm not. And she's leaving work, and it's dark outside. Now, the old lady's going to walk out to her car. We in New Orleans now. And she pulls out her keys, and she's taking her time with a pocketbook. Is that a great situation to be in? No. Well, how do I teach that situation? And see, that's the point I'm trying to get at today is, are we pointing out certain situations that will happen in our lives, our kids' lives, and go ahead and teach them now? That word prudent, because I missed it in the last scripture, prudent, that means you're putting it together. They have the prudent rules, and that means you have fiduciary responsibilities and legalities and all this and all that, and you put things together. And that's how God wants us prepared. Our job as Christians are to be prepared, to be ready. Not just when the Lord comes, but every day of the week. My God earlier said if he was the devil, hey, you serve God on one Sunday, I got you 6 days. And we have to know that's how the devil's working. He don't want to come up in here. Devil don't even want to be here. As soon as we leave that door, that's when he's coming. You know what? The devil don't come like that. He's not ruthless. He's not. What did God say? If I was a devil, I would dress up. I'd drive a Lambo. I have a pretty face. So I wear a Gucci belt or something like that. That's what he said. Why can't I be a child of God and wear a Gucci belt? Amen, sir. But we have to understand that the devil does not care. The devil knows the fight is fixed. The devil knows that regardless of the situation, that if we are a child of God and we're committed to God, if we're intimate with God, he can't win. Guess what we don't do a good job of doing? Evaluating the situations, reading and studying God's word. How about this? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit should have told that lady, hey, listen, ma'am. It's dark outside. Won't you get your keys ready inside? Get one of the males to assist you and walk you to your car. It didn't take me long to fix that, right? But how many times in America today did somebody get robbed in that same situation? Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. All right. Acribus. Characterized by exactness, thoroughness, precision, accurate, in addition to associated ideas of looking, examining, investigating something with great care and alert. That's, as a Christian, should be every one of us. That everything that we do, we examine it to the T. Y'all looking at me like, does he really believe that? Does he really believe that? So let me ask you this question. Let me make a statement. On my job, if I'm not that right there, I don't have a job. I'm going to say it again. If I'm not that right there, I don't have a job. It ain't. My head coach would say it's a fireable offense. Because if we're not on top of our game, if we don't know what's going on, we're going to get fired anyway. Yeah, that's how it goes. When you have a job like I, that's how it goes. But as a Christian, this is who we have to be. Did I say anything about being perfect? No. How about this? There'll be a stretch of times where these type of situations won't even happen. But when they happen, I have to be ready. And if I'm not obedient to God's word, I can't even prepare myself. Think about how many souls could be saved today if we did everything like this. So, what is that detail? Time management? Yeah, time management. You're going to need time to study. Because if you're not prepared with the material and you don't have clarity, it's not going to happen. You have to have clarity. I get a phone call about my dad passing away. And everybody's asking me about the funeral arrangements. This and that, this and this, this and that, this and this, this and that, this and this. I pulled out a little disc. Put the little disc in the computer. And all this stuff pops up. I'm going to help you out, make it short. I spent one dime on my dad's funeral. The gas money it took me to get to Chattanooga in hotel room. We didn't have to pick out a song leader who was singing the songs, who was preaching the eulogy. My dad, he was ready, and he was like that. And I'm telling you, there was no confusion because there couldn't be confusion. His situation awareness for his funeral was outstanding. I lost a father, but I got taught a lesson. Have your stuff laid out. Okay. What suit? The color tie? Really? But he left a situation where there was no question. There was clarity. What funeral home? What? I mean, down there, who's singing the song? Everything. And I look on and I say, I got to get my stuff together, man, because I don't want to leave issues with people. How to clear out his accounts, how to close all the books up, how to cut off his thing, when they going to sell the house, how they going to clean the house up. I mean, down to everything. And I looked at my wife, I said, man, we got to get going, because we're not here. You have to get clarity. See situations with clarity, courage, and wisdom. And that's one thing that we have to understand. You have to have courage sometimes. Sometimes you got to grab it by the neck, and this is how it's going to be done. It is what it is. You know, sometimes people think because you're a Christian that you're soft. Amen. Oh, JJ, man, he speaks at the church, man. Don't worry about Coach. He's gonna be all right with it. Okay, come on over here, and we're gonna run these sprints. That's how we're gonna handle that. You can't be too soft. You want to make sure you have clarity, so you don't have to be too soft. See the immediate and obvious. Sometimes when you're looking at situations, I'm gonna use football so I can give you a really good example. So going into the season, these next 3 weeks, we'll have meetings at 3:00, and we'll go over everything in training camp, from the first meal to the last meal to when we're installing this defense, this defense, this defense, this defense. We don't leave anything unturned. And I told you guys there's a reason why I had to go coach college football. Amen. There was a reason why I had to go over there and learn this, because I wasn't doing this. And now I want to teach this because I think it's a huge advantage in just living, just your life living. It's a huge advantage. Put the problems out before they get started. How about this? This situation can be handled 5 different ways. Well, let me handle them 5 different ways and see how they look on paper. Amen. And then you'll figure out, man, I'm doing the will of God. Man, I'm doing the will of God. Man, I'm doing the will of God. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him come knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. He protects those who treat others fairly and guard those who are devoted to him. If you listen to me, you will know what is right, just, and fair. You will know what you should do. Proverbs 2:6-9. So if you Google situation awareness in the church, this is what pops up. That's what pops up. If you Google it. So when we talk about it being his will, you will know what you should do. If you listen to me, you will know what is right, just, and fair, and you will know what you should do. I thank God for the last 2 years at Tulane for me learning this. I don't know if you guys are on board with this or fully understand this or need a pattern of examples for this, but I don't body into this. I can be in a situation where four things could happen. And I got a beat on all four things. And I'm using the principles of God to handle this stuff. And see, that's why it's special, because it's his will, not mine. And I struggle with that. I struggle with, okay, I'm doing this stuff. Is this what God has in store for me? Well, JJ, if you go get the knowledge, if you go study, if you go do the things you're supposed to do to understand all this stuff. See, that's the hard part. The hard part is doing, you know what? Anytime you have success, anytime things go good, Brother Ambrose, there's always a hard part. I tell my players, you don't want anything free. In life, you don't want anything free. You don't want somebody just to give. I gave them a job. No, I applied for the job. I had a resume. I had the proper skill set for the job. You don't want anything free in life. I'd rather work for it. You're going to appreciate it, and you know it's coming from God. It's coming from God. Church, it's been a pleasure this year. It really has. I have grown a lot. I have learned a lot. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm going to miss you guys. Hopefully I can get two more Sundays in. But I'm asking you guys to continue to pray for me and my family. But I really appreciate fellowshipping with you guys. I really do. I really do. I can't say it enough. The chance to speak God's word 6 to 10 times a year, all I can do is it gets me ready. And the end goal for every last person in here, the end game, is hearing God's voice say, "Well and done, my faithful servant." Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Dear kind, gracious Father, thank you for setting aside the first day of the week that we can acknowledge an awesome Father. That we can come together as a body of believers and praise your name in spirit and in truth. We love our God who sits high but looks low. Lord, please continue to allow us to keep on investigating your word. When we get so good at your word, we can utter everything we need to utter. Father God, please be with everybody in here, our leadership. Please be with our young kids as they grow up in today. Father, we ask that you lead them and you guide them and you put your hands on them in the proper way to influence them to become Christians. Father God, we just allow you in our hearts. Father God, we're going to rebuke Satan right now in the name of Jesus. We already know, Lord, that the fight is already fixed. The victory has already been won. Father God, we just thank you for just allowing us to praise your name today. Father God, please be with Lil Cole as he continues to lead service. Father, that's how it all gets started. Continue to give him the strength and the comfort to be bold and come up here and lead song service in your name, Lord. Father God, be with his parents as they guide him in the proper manner that this kid has the it factor to bring God's word into your house. Father, we love you. We give you all the glory. I can't say it enough. In the name of Jesus, if you're in agreement, say amen.